Faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's very special and very wonderful, and we feel incredibly privileged to be able to work with you in the cause of the gospel and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you so much. I'm aware that last Sunday you farewelled Barry, and then this Sunday you've got a new minister, and that's all very sudden. And I feel for you, you know, in terms of coming to terms with that and adjusting and making that transition from what has been to what will be. And in that process, you know, I understand it's a very sudden one, but I think Barry's going, raises some important questions for us, which I want to look at today, and particularly in terms of our future. Because irrespective of the events or the circumstances that may have led us to this point in our journey where we are today, the question is, where to from here? Why are we meeting together as a local expression of the body of Christ? What is our calling? What is our purpose? What is our vision for the future? Okay, it's those kind of questions. And we saw in our reading this morning, Abraham, called the father of faith, a wonderful example of what faith is all about. And did you notice that he was a nomad? He lived in tents. He was always on the move. He never settled down. And I think that's a wonderful picture of faith, that we never get to a place where we feel settled and that this is where we are and we're comfortable and we're not going to go any further. We are always on the move. And did you notice also that Abraham was future-focused? Okay, that he was always looking forward. He wasn't looking back. In fact, in verse 10 it says, he was looking forward to the city whose architect and builder was God. And then in verse 14, it said he was looking for a country of his own. If he was thinking about the country he'd come from, he would have had opportunity to go back. But no, he was forward focused. He was looking towards a preferred future. And I think that's a wonderful, once again, picture of faith. People of faith are visionary. People of faith are not content to stay where they are. They are moving on with God. And that's my prayer for us. So let's pray. And so our loving Heavenly Father, it's in that spirit of faith. Help us not to focus on what has been or to be content with where we are, but Lord, to be willing to move forward with you into the future you have called us to. We pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to do a bit of visioning. And I want to hear from you, and I also want to share with you. So hearing from you means that I'm going to get you to do something. So we have some ushers who are now going to give out some sheets of paper and some pens. And we may not have quite enough pens for everyone to have one, but if you have a pen, then you may like to grab that now. Otherwise, we could share them between two, but we might almost have enough to have everyone have a pen. So everyone will get a piece of paper and a pen. Okay. We have some who've even got several pens and giving them out to others. That's wonderful. Okay. Okay. Now, when you get your piece of paper and your pen, I want you to start thinking about what is the church that you want to belong to? Okay, so what kind of church do you want Northern Beaches to be or to become? Okay, and I want you to think about that. I want you to think about three descriptive words, three words that would describe the kind of church that you want us to be. Okay, I've limited to three, but I know some of you are going to struggle with that, so I've allowed a possibility of a fourth, okay, if you need a fourth. But what would be three key words that you would want our church to be described by? Okay, anyone not clear about that? Okay, three words to describe the church you want us to be or to become. I think there's a pen or two over here needed. Everyone got a pen and paper now? If not, put up your hands. Yeah, excellent. Okay, three words to describe the church that you want Northern Beaches Church of Christ to be or to become. If you could only have three words, or maybe four, what words would you most like to be true of us? Okay, well, what we might do is we might start collecting those up, and if you haven't quite finished, then that's okay. As the ushers start collecting them up, you can give them in a little bit later. Okay, you don't have to put your name on it or anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually collect these bits of paper, and with that feedback from you, just see where your hearts are at for Northern Beaches Church of Christ, okay? And it will be interesting for me to find that out. So, yep, just pass those back as you finished it. Once we've collected those, I'm going to get the ushers then to hand out a second piece of paper, which you don't have to write anything on unless you want to. Actually, I should have had you keep your pens in case you did want to write something on it. But and this will be my three words, okay, that I'm going to share with you. Okay, so. Okay. Thank you so much, Wilma and Rebecca. Haven't they done a great job of passing things out and collecting and doing all of that? Okay, so I'm not too sure what your three words were, but let me share my three words with you. It's not like rocket science here. It's something very simple. Okay, so my first word was loving. Okay, who put down a word loving or something similar, caring, or, you know, I think most of us probably did. Okay, so and that's pretty basic, isn't it? Remember in Matthew 22, Jesus was once asked by by one of the religious leaders, you know, what is the most important command of all? And Jesus replied, this is the most important one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So everything else comes out of and hangs on and depends upon the principle of love. And Christianity at heart is all about love, about a God who loves us incredibly and who calls us to respond in love to him and in love to others. I mean, that is foundational. That is critical. There, you know, that is, you know, Christianity is all about love. That's really at its very heart. Jesus said to his disciples, once again in that last meal that he shared with him, he said, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you are to love others. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. So love is the distinguishing characteristic mark of the Christian. If people, you know that you're a Christian, it's imperative that we love, and it's by our love that they will be able to say, wow, there's something different about them. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't he? He said, look, you know, you can speak with the tongues of men and angels, you can have all knowledge and be able to fathom, you know, incredibly deep mysteries. You can have all faith to move mountains. You can give your body to be burned. You can give away everything you have for the poor. You can do all these commendable things. But if you don't have love, it means nothing and you gain nothing. Love is absolutely foundational and critical. And there's a whole lot more we could say about that, about being a loving church. And one of the things that we can say is, therefore, we will be accepting. That was my fourth word. I threw it in there. We had a little saying in the church that I used to lead, no perfect people allowed. I loved it. I just loved it. No perfect people allowed. And basically that was just communicating, hey, you know, we're going to love people warts and all. It's that recognition, as Anne was sharing in our communion time this morning, that recognition that, hey, we are all broken and forgiven people. And therefore, we will reach out in grace to others in their brokenness. And we will not judge them. We will simply love and support and care and seek their healing. So, you know, that's very important. So when people come into our church, they should feel the love. And that's what Pam and I do. When we came into your fellowship, we could feel the love. And that's amazing. And so more and more, you know, we just want to be a church that is a loving church. And think family. You know, we are a loving family. That's a wonderful image of church that the New Testament talks about. We're brothers and sisters together, you know, that we belong as family. And so love, or loving, is one of those key words. Number two, the second word I chose was healthy. And you may have had words along that line. And so here, think not so much of a family, but think of a body. And Paul uses that illustration of the body, the church as a body, a number of times, because it speaks about some very key things. So as a church, we are a body. You know, we are, he says, we're members of that body. We're all different, and yet we're all just as important in our differences of abilities and gifts. And we all can contribute something special and unique into the church. And so, you know, it's a beautiful picture. And some of the things that it speaks to us about, you know, I think if we're going to be a healthy church, we need to be well nourished, like a body. And as you know, your body would not go well if you only fed it once a week. If you only had one meal a week, you know, you would not be very healthy. And so it is for us, you know, if we're going to be well nourished, if every member of the body is going to get that sort of needed supply of nutrients that means it can function well, then we need to be constantly feeding. So it's not just church on a Sunday as the one time you get your spiritual food, okay? We also talk about how it's important to be a part of a small group, because it's not just a large formal gathering, but it's the informal, interactive group that can express all of those one another exhortations of the New Testament. And so, you know, there's value in being part of the gathering of the whole body on a Sunday in a formal setting, but there's also amazing value in being a part of a small group through the week. And so we're a cell celebration kind of church. But not only that, even two meals a week wouldn't be enough. So, you know, it's important that we learn how to feed ourselves on God's word and in his presence on a regular daily basis so that we are well nourished. Secondly, we need to be balanced. And we're not just talking here about a balanced diet. We're talking about a balanced lifestyle. You know, the importance of having, you know, adequate rest, adequate exercise, and just living a balanced life. So there needs to be a balance for us to be a healthy body. Jesus, we read, you know, was full of grace and truth. And so we need to hold on to both of those and keep the two together in balance. When I was here earlier this year, I talked about the balance between the inner journey and the outer journey. The inner journey of refreshment and enrichment, and the outer journey of engagement, you know, to others. So yeah, we need to be balanced. We need to be unified. Jesus prayed for, Paul pleaded for unity. And it's something that we need to, he says, you know, be careful to maintain. And so we need to make sure there's no dissension, there's no power politics, there's no, you know, cliques of people who are exclusive of others. Paul says to the Philippians, he says, look, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. You know, each of you should think not only about your own self, but think about others, put their needs as well. And so, you know, that whole unity is very important. And we need to be fit and functional, where every member is active and engaged. And so Paul speaks about that in the body as well. So, you know, every one of us actively involved, actively investing into the health and well-being of everyone else. So that's really important. And finally, no pathogens, no nasties, you know, going around our body. Things that can, you know, cause cancerous, you know, malfunction. And so we need to make sure that there's no critical spirit. There's no judgmentalism, there's no comparisons, there's no gossip and slander and things like that. And the writer of the Hebrews says, see that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So, you know, we need to make sure that's not happening. Because we want to be a church that is loving, and that's foundational. We want to be a healthy church, as a good functioning body. And in these kind of ways. And then finally, we need to be missional. And hopefully you might have had a word along those lines. Maybe, you know, something like caring or outreaching or evangelistic or whatever it might be. But that was my third word, which to me is absolutely critical as well. So we want to be a loving family. We want to be a healthy body. But we also want to be missional. And here, think about change agent. Think about what Jesus talked about. You know, when we're salt and we're light, and therefore we have a positive impact on our environments. We make a difference in our world. And so, yeah, we need to have that missional focus, that missional aspect and dynamic. So it's not just us, you know, having a nice time here on a Sunday, but it's about us going out into the world and making a difference, making a positive change for Jesus' sake. Being able to share his love and his good news with others. And before I became a chaplain in defence, for 15 years prior to that, I was actually a sports chaplain. And I was the club chaplain for Parramatta Eels. Sorry about that. I know that's... I've already totally undone my whole credibility just right there. Back when I was there, we used to do really well. Apart from this last year, since I left, they were down the bottom. Just, you know, go figure. But for 15 years, I was chaplain there. And on game days, I used to pray with some of the guys before they went on the field. But then at half time, you know, the NRL team would come back into the sheds. And there would be this kind of routine that would happen, you know, in that 15 minutes or so while they were in the shed. So they would come back, you know, pretty worn out, you know, sweating and a bit battered, and they would all the chairs would be in a circle, and they would come in and they'd sit down. The first thing we would do is myself and a few others would come around with cups of water and Gatorade, and we would make sure that they, you know, sort of were being refreshed in that way. And then the doctor and the physios would come in, and they would go around to each of the players and just check for any injuries or anything that might have happened that they needed to give attention to. And then the coach would come in, and he would tell them in no uncertain terms and in very colourful language what they were doing wrong and what they could do better. And he would instruct, he would correct, he would challenge. You know, he would do all those things in his talk. And then after that, the guys would get up, they'd form a circle, and they'd, you know, encourage each other, come on, we can do this, we got this, you know, and rah, 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 and back out they'd go. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, that is a brilliant illustration of what the church should be on Sunday. You know, we all come in after the week, we're a bit battered, we need refreshment, we need some renewal, we need some extra inspiration and motivation. And so we come here, you know, we get refreshed. We you know, we get seen to, a bit of healing. We get encouraged and inspired and challenged. We encourage each other, and then we go out into battle, into the mission field, to do it all again. And the action is not here. The scene of action is not the dressing room. It's out there on the field. That's where the action is. And so this is not where it all happens. This is where we get renewed so that we can go out and be salt and light and witnesses and missionaries in the world where God is calling us to make a difference. So there's a sentness, you know. Over 40 times in the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus was sent. He said, I didn't come, you know, to be served, but to serve and to give myself for others. He was other-focused. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And so we are sent. We are sent. And we need to have that sense of sentness. And I'm so glad that you chose the passage of Scripture that you did today, you know, which is, you know, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, because that's what we're on about. You know, Jesus calls us to go. It's the Great Commission. And I remember Rick Warren, you know, said that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission makes a great church. You know, so that's so key. So, you know, so my three words, you know, I want us to be a loving church, a healthy church, a missional church. And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 9, I think I put it there on your notes, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, I used to think that what Jesus was asking us to ask for and pray for was for more workers. But actually, when you read it, he's saying no. He's saying, pray that these workers will be sent into the harvest. And I began to realize, you know, there's probably more than enough reapers or harvesters around, but the problem is we're not out reaping and harvesting. We're not out, you know, in the field, which is what he calls us to. So look, we don't really know specifically where God may lead us into the future in terms of the form of our church. We may remain fairly similar to what we are now. there may be a whole, and I'm praying there will be a whole lot of new people that will come in that will change, in a sense, the dynamic. We may remain in rented facilities. We may get a facility of our own. We may even become, you know, a church of house. I don't know about the form around that. But whatever the form and whatever the future holds in terms of our size and our the constitution of our congregation and in terms of who's here and, you know, and all of those things, whatever that is, at heart we should stay the same. It's the heart that stays the same. It's the core values that remain constant. That whatever that form may be and whatever the future may hold in terms of growth and other people, that we will always be a loving, healthy, missional church. That's my prayer. That's the church I want to belong to. And I pray it is what you want to belong to as well. So by all means, take those sheet of paper and use it as something you pray into, you know, for our church going forward. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you that we can partner with you and with each other in your work in the world. That, Lord, we can enter into your love, that we can express the wholeness and the healthiness of you in how we live and work and relate together. And, Lord, that we can be salt and light, and we can make a difference for you and for your gospel. We just praise you, Lord, that you call us to such a wonderful, wonderful task. And Lord, not only do you call us to that, you empower us to do it. And we thank you that you are always with us as you promised you would be, even to the end of the age, to fulfill what you call us to through Jesus our Lord. Amen.